Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR 96.3, 96.3 HD2, and Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. This is the Insight Segment. Well, tonight we have a conversation with leaders of the National Black Justice Coalition. The organization is spearheading Equity Weekend this weekend. And we have two leading members of the organization to provide some insight for us tonight. Our guest is David Johns, the CEO and Executive Director of National Black Justice Coalition, and Dr. Marcus Hunter, he's a board member of the National Black Justice Coalition. Gentlemen, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having us, Bramante. And if you're going to use doctor for him, then you got to use it for me too.
Okay, now, are you a doctor?
And the degree is right on the wall behind me.
Okay, we zoom in, but I trust you. Look, somebody will zoom in to be sure, but doctors for both. I like that. It gives us more bounce. So Dr. Johns, I'm going to start with you first. Tell us a little bit about, and the audience, about the National Black Justice Coalition, what it is, what it does.
What it is an organization that is created by Black people to ensure that all of us get to taste freedom. We are the nation's oldest civil rights organization at the intersections between racial equity and LGBTQIA plus equality. So we celebrate that before the terms lesbian, gay, bi, trans existed, Black people, the originators of all people, showed up in beautifully diverse ways. And we understand the teaching of Fannie Lou Hamer, which is that none of us are free unless and until all of us are free. So our goal is to remind folks to reclaim African ways of being such that we can all get free.
Once you throw Fannie Lou Hamer in there, that's a deep civil rights reference. What is it about her, David, where you see her imprint on the organization and what it is that you're trying to do?
Yeah, you can see it, you can hear it, you can feel it in the DNA of an organization that understands the importance of owning your power and making demands of those that we put in positions to work on behalf of the people. So for those who don't know, Fannie Lou Hamer is someone who literally gave her body. She sacrificed everything that existed to demand that democratic institutions live up to the promises that they made to Black people, including Black women. And so when I think about now living in the legacy of not only Fannie Lou Hamer, but Brother Byron Rustin, who was the architect of the modern march on Washington, he created the stage where Dr. King delivered his seminal speech. These are race warriors who understand that we got to do this together, that we have to center and see each member of our beautifully diverse community, that we have to focus on what Black theologians talk about as the least of us, the most marginalized members of our communities as we engaged in these pursuits. And we are required to, again, own our power and make demands of elected leaders, of appointed leaders at every level, such that they are doing the work of defending and expanding democracy. Those are things that I understand as lessons from Fannie, and those are things that instruct the work of NBJC.
Dr. Hunter, tell us a little bit about Equity Weekend. What is it? What's the goal?
Yeah, Equity Weekend is an opportunity to lean into the harmonic convergence that is Juneteenth, that is Black Music Month, that is Pride Month, and to really celebrate that intersection by leaning into the issues of equity. As many people remember, in 2020, we lost many people, but among them, Ms. Breonna Taylor and Mr. George Floyd. And upon that, we saw the most turnout for an election ever, which made President Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris the most vote-earning elected officials of all time. And when they got those positions, the first thing they did was issue an executive order on racial equity, and also, for the first time, issue racial equity as a major pillar of their effectiveness. But over the time, we haven't seen much more other than a Juneteenth holiday, which, for the listeners, people should know, Representative Sheila Jackson Lee, who was the primary on the Juneteenth bill, has always said that that Juneteenth bill goes hand in hand and is a companion with H.R. 40, which was first introduced by Representative John Conyers. And so part of what we see is that half of the companion was admitted and the other half is still remaining. And all of these around voting rights, John Lewis Voting Rights Act, police reform, book banning, Representative Barbara Lee's Truth, Racial Healing, and Transformation Bill. These are all a part of a conversation about equity, and they've all been introduced into Congress. And the idea is to create a forum and opportunity for people to be engaged, to get registered to vote, to find out about these things, because of course we live in a media cycle that's very divisive, and many programs are not as great as yours, where they're attending to these issues and letting audiences know that a lot of people have activated and submitted legislation to Congress that would help, you know, remedy a lot of these matters. And so what we want to do is call attention to it. We want to get people registered to vote, get them tested for STIs and STDs for free. We want people to engage with Black ballroom culture and meet people from the community. And we also just want to have a good old-fashioned demonstration march where we start at McPherson Square. We walk through Black Lives Matter Plaza, past the White House and the D.C. mayor's office, the government of D.C., where there'll be a stage meeting you with some of our nation's leaders, talking about how equity actually brings us together. And we still owe to Breonna Taylor and George Floyd and Ahmaud Arbery and so many other people what was promised in 2020, but still has not been fulfilled in 2024.
It sounds like, and this can go to either one of you, can jump in, that's a heavy lift. That's a pretty heavy, a lot of boxes to check. But you mentioned, Dr. Hunter, that there hasn't been a lot of movement on the legislation. A lot of talk,
right?
Not a lot of movement. And so I'll let you or either Dr. Johns jump in on this. Why do you think there hasn't been movement? There's intent. Yeah. It sounds like that there's the will, but they haven't necessarily found the way. Okay, go ahead, Dr. Hunter.
I was just going to say, part of what the demonstration and even doing what now has morphed into National Equity Week, what the whole point is to demonstrate to our elected officials that there is a public appetite and a public will that has held on all of these years. So do not fear that you don't have an audience or a population hungry for these kinds of actions. The other thing is to also say, you know, at different junctures, the elected officials, especially the administration, the Biden-Harris administration, has had opportunities. They have what is called the bully pulpit. We have yet to hear Breonna Taylor's name. Not once. What is that about? You know, one of the things we've also done are open letters to the president, because Representative Barbara Lee, Sheila Jackson Lee, Jamal Bowman, Cori Bush, they've been coming together, working together to put this forward, asking for a meeting. Advocates have been asking for a meeting. That has not happened yet. So we think about Barbara Lee, Congresswoman Barbara Lee, being the highest ranking Black woman in all of Congress, not getting a meeting to talk about positive efforts that are before Congress and to figure out what the executive branch can do to create a media cycle, to make people aware, to just lean into the positive story, especially at a time where there's so many negative stories, so much controversy, so much death and despair in the world. There's so many people activated across this great nation around issues of reparative justice, and the bully pulpit is a place to inform people. And we want to apply pressure, in the words of the great DMV sociologist, Ari Lennox, applying that pressure so that people can know that this is not a controversial conversation. This is not controversial as these are just holding you to promises made, because we don't want you to make yourself a liar, and we don't want people to be lied to if we can do something about it.
And we understand I'll jump in the double dutch ropes, which is we understand the importance of continuing to apply pressure. So I introduce another one of our ancestors into the space, bell hooks. What bell hooks writes about in Teaching Critical Thinking is too often we forget that democracies have to be defended by each generation. We take for granted that this great democracy that's an experiment that was built by enslaved Africans is something that's going to exist in perpetuity. The last occupant of the Oval Office and the insurrectionists of January 6th have proved that to be something that we should not take for granted. And so we understand that we have an obligation to remind people that applying that pressure is something that we need to do constantly. And then the first part of your question was, I think, an appropriate acknowledgement that what we're doing feels like a lot, but we stand in a long line of race warriors who understand the importance of prioritizing this work. Again, we reclaim African ways of being, including showing up in communities, showing up on sacred ground, making claims on things that we're owed, including equity, in ways that are consistent with and allow us to be uplifted by the ancestors that we're naming and the family members that exist in real time. And so I want to just highlight that while you're talking, the two of us, this is a collective effort that includes more than 170 national, local organizations, faith, community leaders who understand the importance of us continuing to demand equity.
You kind of were leading me into my next question. There are many civil rights organizations out there. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes they may have the general same aim, but maybe getting there in the same way, you know, you sometimes have clashes. How do you work through that to still get to your ultimate goal?
Yeah, two things. Three, I hear Freeman Hrabowski talking about the importance of being liberated from the tyranny of either or by the beauty of both and. Mm-hmm. And so the important thing is to name that, like, there's so much work for all of us to do to get toward equity that there's room for everybody to run. The second thing is that NBJC is unique for some of the reasons that we've talked about and specific to this question, and that typically you have civil rights organizations, legacy organizations like NAACP, the National Urban League, Black Greek letter organizations like my beloved Kappa Alpha Psi Fraternity Incorporated, the greatest organization known to man. These are organizations. These are organizations that typically have a singular focus, or one that is not rooted in intersectionality, a term that a lot of people have been introduced to because of attacks on Kimberly Crenshaw. But this is a term that has been offered up and written about by Patricia Hill Collins that has existed for centuries. And so NBJC celebrates and leads into our uniqueness while working with legacy civil rights partners and our progressive, what people know as LGBTQ partners. The last thing is this: the way we all make it work is to engage in what we call protracted struggle. This is a term that Kiara Johnson, a colleague and leader of mine, who's responsible for the LGBT task force, has centered. And what this means is that none of us are disposable. Ramonte, I don't have the luxury of saying to you or to any of my colleagues or any member of our beautiful, diverse community that we can do this without you. We cannot. We are required to learn how to argue better, how to engage in principled struggle, to work toward the same goal, which is that every member of our beautiful, diverse community can be free. And we have to get there together.
With the Equity Weekend, you guys, there's a list of events that are going on, and you kind of hit some of them. But before we jump over to the other side, Dr. Hunter, can you talk a little bit about what is coming in the next few days if folks want to get involved and where they can go to be part of what's happening over the weekend?
Absolutely. So first, I'll start with where you can go. You can go to mbjc.org. You can go to equityweekend.com. And you can also go into the Apple App Store and go to United by Equity and download the app. In each of those locations, you can register for the events. Most all of them are free. You can also find out where they're happening, what's going on there. In the app, even better, you're taken to register to vote. You can find out who your congressional representative is. You can also hear more about the Earn the Black Vote campaign. And so this is also an opportunity for people to experience advocacy on the Hill. That starts on Wednesday using MBJC's signature event Out on the Hill, where we go to Capitol Hill and young people get to advocate and meet with members to hear and see how our democratic process works. On Thursday, we'll be on the sacred ground of Howard University campus, and we will have people registering to vote, getting tested. That's Thursday, 4 to 7, Blackburn Hall. On Friday, there'll be an opportunity to advocate and be an advocate at the White House in the morning. And then that night at Howard Theater from 9 p.m. to 1 a.m., there'll be the Equity Ball featuring the international iconic legendary Jack Mizrahi and the legend Lego John Rivera. And then we also will have the Equity March on Saturday. And on Saturday, we'll begin at McPherson Square at 2 o'clock. We'll start marching 2:30. We'll follow all the way around to just adjacent to the office of the mayor and the DC government at 13th and Pennsylvania Avenue, where we'll hear from leaders. And so you get a bit of everything. You get to advocate, you get to register, you get to celebrate, and you get to demonstrate. You know, those four actions, those four verbs demonstrate that we're not just human beings, we're humans doing. We're trying to make people lean in a positive way to the possibilities of the world creation that we think is possible.
We're going to have much more of this conversation, but we're going to take a quick break. Don't forget, you can hear every edition of the Daily Drum Insight segment via podcast on WHUR.com. Or you can download the 96.3 HD2 app on your smartphone and hear the program live in its entirety. This conversation continues online and on SiriusXM channel 141, 96.3 HD2. Two, and Dr. Johns, I know you mentioned the Kappas here before we go to break, and you know Harold Fisher
is
a Kappa.
Let's get into it. Let's do it.
And we love the Kappas, and they're all my friends, but you know there's only been one first. There's only one first. I just want to say that before we go to break.
Understood. We got to do this together, so we'll take all of the brothers of A5A and Omega Psi okay. Phi and the group, too.
Everybody, I'm just saying. Okay. The original Quiet Storm is next on 96.3 WHUR. Again, this conversation continues online and on SiriusXM channel 141 and 96.3 HD2.